Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you already for the open heaven that we're under. We thank you for the worship that's went up and just, I believe, pierced a hole in the atmosphere where the things of God can be transcending from heaven all the way to earth in our life right now. We thank you for the word that's going to come forth before we ever hear it, because when it's your word, it's always a blessing and a challenge to us to shape us and mold us into your likeness, into your image this day, Father. And we thank you, God, in Jesus' name for your word right now. If that's you, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, happy Thanksgiving. I hope everybody had a blessed and happy Thanksgiving. If you did, say, oh me.
Oh, me.
That's usually a sign of overeating. Amen. How many overdid it? Come on, raise your hand. Get right. Some of y'all didn't overeat it. That's your problem, okay? Shame on you. But anyway, the title of today's message kind of goes along with what we've been through the last week or so. And the title of today's message is called Hunger Pains. Everybody say Hunger Pains. Anybody ever had hunger pains up in here? Most of us have experienced this. Now, let me just say this right here. We live in a place where we really don't know what hunger truly is. Because we usually can go get something or have something, or we may be looking forward to getting something. Unless you're doing a fast from food, you don't know what it's like to go a day or two or three or four without a meal. Unless you do it on purpose for the Lord, amen, fasting. But there are places in the world where they have nut food for 3 or 4 or 5 days. Sometimes they only eat once or twice a week. Many countries, it's one meal a day if they get that, okay? So turn to your neighbor and say, we're a blessed nation. But we do know what we call getting hungry on our level anyway. And how many's ever felt that gut where it just talks to you? Come on now. How many's heard your spouse's gut talk to you? We call it at my house, dad's getting hangry, so get him something to eat. Come on, anybody know what hangry is? That's where I don't know if your blood pressure's dropping or what, because you hadn't eaten or something's getting, it's just like, I got to do something now. Feed me. Now, anybody else have been there? Come on. I need something. I just need it. Everybody say, I need it now. So let's go ahead and put up the first note tonight. In your notes today, everybody say spiritual hunger. Spiritual hunger pains, let me tell you what, they can't be satisfied. They cannot be satisfied with food. Amen? They can't be satisfied with someone giving you attention, money, entertainment, or relationships. Now, we need to develop, as good, healthy Christians, we need to develop spiritual hunger. Amen? And spiritual hunger just simply says, I know there's more of God out there, and I want more of God. And we need to get to that place sometimes where it's like kind of like we're hangry. It's like we're getting mad if the devil's whipping us up 2 or 3 times over here, 5 or 6 times over here. It's like, I'm not going to put up with the devil. I am spiritually hangry, and I'm going to get me some word right now. And you go to your word, you get in your Bible, you get in your prayer time, you get in your worship time, and you feed on the things of the spiritual realm of God. Amen? Now, again, we all have pains in our spirit, spiritual hunger. Say, that's a good thing. Now, the question is, and I believe this right here with all my heart, every single person born on planet Earth that reaches the age of accountability has some spiritual hunger pains. You may not know what they are, but there's spiritual hunger pains in you. And we're going to talk about that more in a little bit, but here's the key to it. The question becomes, what do we feed it? If I have spiritual hunger in my life, what do I need to feed it? And the problem is not that we have spiritual hunger. The problem is sometimes we feed it the wrong things because we don't understand it's a spiritual need. We think it's a regular physical need sometimes. And you need to understand the difference. So that's what we're here to do today. Now, again, inside every person is a God-shaped hunger or a desire for more of the Lord. Can I have a better amen? Amen. And I want to give you about five categories where I know that God has created hunger in every human being for Him. Number one is your identity. Every single person here, we have a hunger to have an identity. Now, sometimes we want our identity in the things of the world, maybe success, maybe a name, maybe a reputation, maybe whatever, but we all want to be known as something and somebody. Can I have a better amen there? Amen. Inside of every human being, there's a hunger to love and to be loved. I don't care who you are. You can sit there all day long and say, man, I don't need nobody. Just by you saying that proves to me you need somebody. Because the fact that you have to tell somebody that is a cry, is a hunger you actually have, not only to love, be loved, but to love back. Amen. The third thing is there's a hunger for meaning and purpose. We all have a hunger for that. I want my life to matter. Amen. That's why, as Pastor also said, we do three things at Journey Church to try to get you to the last thing we're all about. We want you to know the real God. We want you to live a life of freedom. We want you to find your purpose, discover your purpose. Why? So your life can have its fulfilled meaning and your life can make a difference while you're on planet Earth. And it's a difference that is eternal, just like we see here today. It's a generational blessing. It's a generational spiritual thing that every one of us has the same access to. Amen? That's what I love about the table of God. Anybody who's hungry is welcome to the table. Amen. You can have as much as you want. I don't get more because He called me to preach. I get the same table you get. And you get to determine, and I get to determine how much of God's table we'll sit at and how much of His word and love we'll get. But we all have a hunger for meaning and purpose in our life. And two more real quickly, if you'll bear with me. We all have a hunger for hope. Everybody's got, we want to have hope no matter what we're facing. And that's a natural God-given thing, is when you're going through struggles and you're going through things you don't understand, is to have that God-filled, centered hope that God's got it and He's going to work it out. Just do your part. Amen. Amen. And then the last thing is this right here. And this is where most people don't even realize it. There is a divine nature inside of every created human being to have a hunger for God's righteousness. Now, a lot of people will cloak that down, and a lot of people even say, I don't like God, I don't even believe in God, I'm agnostic, I'm an atheist, I'm a Satanist. But what they're saying is, I'm hungering for the true relationship and righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's what they're really pursuing. But the world has so deceived them, and they've gotten denied by the past mistakes they've made, or somebody identified them as something other than what God created them, and they followed a false identity. They're hunting that true identity of Jesus Christ. Some of the most powerful testimonies you hear is people say, I was a Satanist, I was an atheist, but man, I met Jesus. And when I met Jesus, everything changed. I started understanding who I really was. But even while I was lost in a Satanist, I knew there was more. Come on, every single person I've ever known of that kind of character that's come, they're like, I knew. Even back then, I knew. I knew there was more. I didn't know what it was, and I wanted to deny it, but I knew there was something greater and higher than what I had going on in my life. Touch your neighbor and say, everybody knows. But we do. We hunger and we thirst for God and His righteousness. As a matter of fact, Psalms chapter 63, verse 1. Now, I'm going to read this out of the Passion Translation because I love the way it gives this psalm. It says, watch this. Oh, God of my life. How many can say that today? No. I'm not just saying a cliche here. Some of us can say, oh, God, for Sunday. Oh, God, be God in my life on Sunday. Oh, God, be God of my life when I need you and I'm in a jam. That's not what the psalmist here is saying. He's saying, oh, God of my life, Monday through Sunday, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, God of my life. This is the passion and the hunger you'll see in this. Oh, God of my life, watch this now. I am lovesick for you in this weary wilderness. I thirst with the deepest what's this right here? I got to get to this. I can't see that. I thirst with the deepest longings to love you what? More. There's, touch your neighbor and say, there's more. Now watch this. with cravings in my heart that can't be described. Such yearning grips my soul for you, my God. Can y'all hear the hunger passion there? And guys, let me tell you something. Every one of us ought to have that same desire. And when you stop and think about it, we should actually be more hungry, because this is Old Testament scriptures. They haven't seen a note of Jesus Christ hitting the earth yet. You and I have know about it. Some of us have experienced it, received it. So how much more should we long for God in our everyday life all the time? When times are bad, yes. When times are good, yes. When you get disappointed, yes, God. Circumstances should never dictate you staying hungry for God. It should only make you hungrier in both situations, good and bad. But now sometimes, like I told you earlier, we misinterpret hunger pains. Now we got some things that we've actually clinically called hunger pains in our life. Stress eating. Come on, raise your hand if you've ever been stressed out and you stress eating. Boredom eating. Y'all see all that right there? Y'all know what that is? That's what I call a snacksident. That's a snacksident. I get bored, I just go to the cabinet and look around. I'm not even really hungry sometimes. Just want a snack. So every bit of that right there that don't belong is a snacksident. But I done it. Okay? That snack didn't come out of there, jump on me and make me eat. I got up and pursued it. Good preaching, amen. That's real preaching right there. Another type of hunger we misplace sometimes is, well, I'm lonely, so I lonely eat. Ain't got nothing else to do. Kind of goes along with the boredom. And then a lot of times is when we're uncertain, we're anxious, and we're walking in fear, we'll go to the cabinet. Come on. And these things are going on not because you need physical food. These things are an indicator you need to get some time with Father. You do need to eat, but right here's the buffet. You need to get that word out. Man, I need to be in the word a lot more. But anyway, quit judging. But what all this is, it's your spirit calling out you need God. That's what that real hunger is. It's not because you're going to faint if you don't eat physical food. It's because your spirit is yearning to have that relationship with Jesus Christ in those times. And we think we can just go get some food and feed the natural part of us, it'll all go away. And food can bring some comfort for a short time. But then the problem's still there when you don't solve it spiritually. And that's the problem we've fallen into. Can I have a better amen? Amen. Now, everybody say spiritual hunger pains. Let me give you real quick, this is not in your notes, but four things right quick. It's God drawing you to himself. If you're spiritually hungry, or if you just got some of these false indicators, that is God saying, hey, I'm trying to draw you near to me. Amen? In other words, let me say it like this. It's like your spirit's starting to wake up and it needs breakfast. No. Something inside of you, just like a lot of atheists and things like that, when they come to, you know there's more. Right. You know sitting in here today there's more than what you've been experiencing. Yeah. I know it. I know you're here, and you know there's more of God. Yeah. But for some reason, you don't want to go to God. You'd rather go to everything else. Yeah. Maybe it was the way you was raised. Maybe it's what you've been taught or said or something. I don't know. I know I've been there myself. You go to every other thing but God sometimes. But I'm telling you, that inside you is because you know there's more, and you're tired of living a life with less. Amen? You're not satisfied with shallow living. You don't know how to go to the next level. Guess what? None of us did either. None of us knew how to do it either. Welcome to the family. But all it said was, I heard that if I would put my trust and hope in Jesus Christ, that he would be my Lord and Savior. And I believed he was, and he is the Son of God. And so that day I just said, man, that's a better plan than what I've got right now. So I signed up for Jesus. And can I tell you, I've never regretted it a day in my life. I've never understood it completely every time. But I've never regretted it. And the more I trust him, the more I get fed. And the more I eat, the more I trust him. It just goes that way. Amen? But God wants to use your hunger. God wants to use those stressful, those lonely, those anxiety, fearful times in your life to feed you himself and his word. Amen? In other words, he's trying to remind you through these times in your life that you were made, designed, and created for him. That's what it's really all about. Your whole life is screaming out, you were made in the image of God for God. You're not made for yourself. Your life is not about you. Your life is about the generational blessings you can produce. But unfortunately, a lot of people are not producing generational blessings. We're producing generational curses. And every generation, it gets a little bit worse and a little bit worse and a little bit worse. And it will continue that path until it runs into one person that says, thus far and no more. I'm turning this thing into a blessing. I'm not going to live under a curse no more. I'm starting a generational blessing from here on out. Can I have a better amen? Hallelujah. Now, go ahead and put up the next note. One of my favorite sayings, what you feed grows, what you starve, what? It'll die. That is so simple, it's almost too, you have to have somebody help you misunderstand that. Amen? If you feed something, it's going to grow. If you want to kill something, just starve it out. Don't feed it, it will die. And so we are a product of what we're feeding. This is a product of Snacksident. Little Debbie, Hostess. Pie, cake, cookies, chips. I felt the glory. Hunger pains don't go away just because you wish them to go away. The only way you can get rid of a natural hunger pain is to what? Eat, feed that rascal. Amen? I'm telling you, most Sunday mornings, I always fast on Sunday mornings, most Sunday mornings, and then I get real hungry. I don't get hungry during the service at all, but after the service, man, it's like, okay, something's got to give. I'm getting hungry. I got to eat. And I do. I go eat. Why? Because I'm hungry now. Amen? And the only way I'm going to get rid of that hunger is to go somewhere and get something to eat. And it will satisfy it until the next time. Amen? And that's like I tell all of y'all, I fast more than any person that I know. Because I fast between every meal. I'll eat, and then I'll fast till I get hungry, and then I'll eat again. But I just, you have not because you ask not. But you got to feed it. But feeding what you feed, everybody say what I feed, determines who you become. What I partake in determines what I become. I think it was a long time ago, there was a Christian comedian. He said, if you eat a lot of fat, greasy food, you become a fat, greasy dude. He's a Christian comedian. And you know that's true? If you eat a lot of fat, greasy food, what do you expect? If you eat a lot of chicken, what do you expect? Grilled chicken. Not deep southern fried. Okay? But we are a product of what we put in. Now see, now I done lost some of y'all because you mad. And isn't it weird that the worst food is the best tasting food? Glory to God. I mean, people take the skin off a chicken and grill it. Let that chicken die, not in vain. Keep his skin on and put some grease and some batter and some flour and deep fry that rascal. Let him die with dignity and glory. Amen. Can the church say amen? Amen. Skin him off and don't even baste him or nothing. What's wrong with you people? But we are a product of what we put in. And let me tell you something. Wherever you're at in your relationship with Jesus Christ, you're there because of the stuff you've put in. If you're far away from God, it's because you're not putting enough of God in. If you only go to God at a certain time, you're weak because you don't have a daily diet of God. Again, I've been there and lived this. I know exactly what I'm talking about. So let me tell you something. If you feed your flesh, everybody say my flesh. Because your flesh gets hungry and your spirit gets hungry. Your flesh wants the things of the world and sin. Your spirit wants the things of God and the kingdom of heaven. Can I have a better amen there? So if you feed your flesh, let me tell you some things you'll grow. Number one thing you'll grow is you'll grow your pride. And pride will keep you from coming from God. But you'll grow that pride if you feed it. It'll grow every time. If you feed your anxiety and your anxiety and your fear is going to grow. You're constantly going to stay in a state of depression or oppression. Many people are there right now today because you're feeding that animal. Amen, good preaching. If you feed your temptations will grow. If you start giving in to every temptation that comes along, guess what? You're going to be tempted more times and more often. Imagine that. Why? Because I'm feeding it. Oh, and here's a good one. Distractions. If I follow every distraction in my life, I will never follow God. I'll follow this over here. Well, I got to be doing this. Well, I'm too busy to read the word. I'm too busy to pray. I'm too busy to worship. I'm just too busy to go to church. You're too busy. Busy, B-U-S-Y, being under Satan's yoke. That's what busy is. If you're too busy to feed off of God in his spiritual realm, then you're being under Satan's yoke. You're too busy. And there are distractions to draw you away from the table of God. And the more you get distracted, the easier it becomes. Let me let you in on a little secret. I may have to take a little time for this one. Years ago, and this was back when magazines were still being produced. This was before the internet came out. Yes, I am that old. And I was working in the industrial world in manufacturing. And I got a book because the projects to where years ago you had a first shift, a second shift, and a third shift. And you worked Monday through Friday. Sometimes you would work overtime and do a Saturday, but you never worked on Sundays. Amen? Y'all remember? How many remember those times? Look at all the old people. Okay. But then all of a sudden, somebody got this genius idea to go to these swing shifts. We're going to work you so many days on daytimes, and then we're going to swap you to nights, and then you're going to rotate. You're going to be on three, off four, on four, off three, or on, and they got all these, and do you know some researchers researched that, and they figured out why they done it? Because it takes years off of your life. It kills you faster. It breaks up the home. It breaks up marriages. It breaks up families. It takes people out of the church, and it kills you faster. Well, why would they want to do that? Well, why wouldn't they? Do you realize that all the pension money that's being saved, if they can kill 2/3 of their workforce off another 5 or 10 years earlier? Because it's stress. You never get the good sleeping pattern. And then you're distracted by this. And then you, when you got 5 days a week and you're at home every day by 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening or 6 o'clock and you're with your family and you've got weekends with your family, you're healthier.
That's right.
You're healthier. Life is healthier. The church is healthier. It's designed to get you dead, family destroyed, and out of church. The three things that God wants you to be. Healthy, married, and in his house growing his church. It was designed that way. And now it's become just a part of our society. And again, you're not sinning by doing it, but just make sure you take time to feed on God. And don't get distracted. Everybody say, don't get distracted. Because when you get distracted, the next thing you'll grow is, and this has grown into a massive proportion, your compromise begins to grow. When you start compromising, it'll grow. Well, what we're doing is not that bad. It's not as bad as them. Compared to them, we're just as good as they are. And do you know lost people can point to the church and say that?
Right.
Well, they go to church and he preaches, but he's done this and he's had an affair and he stole money and he's gay or whatever. I'm just as good as he or she was.
Right.
They at the bar club drinking with everybody else. Why should I go to church? Quiet in this Presbyterian church this morning. Let me read you a verse right quick. Galatians chapter 6, 8 says this right here. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption.
Amen.
It's what we just talked about. When you sow to your flesh and you feed that flesh, it will grow. And it will grow and go down the generational line. And it does. But look at the rest of that verse. Comma, but. Everybody say, but. But God. Now that's the first part is absolutely true. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap the corruption of it. But he who sows to the Spirit, watch this now, will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Come on. Don't get excited. That's just really good for you and me. It's good for anybody who'll do it. And here's the thing about it. We get to choose which part of that we want. We can't blame everybody else if I'm reaping corruption. That's my fault. I can't blame them if they're spiritual. That's my fault. I can eat from the spiritual table. You got access to the Word of God. You got access through talking to Jesus himself. You can pray. You can invite Jesus into your life right here, right now. Quit blaming everybody where you're at. Step up. Step up and be what you're called to be, a child of the Most High God. But I'm afraid I'll mess it up. Let me clue you in. You will mess it up. Yes, you will. We all have. But that's what's so great about getting Jesus on your team. He's got grace. But it's not a grace that we continue to sin. It's a grace that empowers us to overcome that sin by staying away from the table of the devil and eating at the table of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So let's real quick talk about if you feed your spirit, like this verse says. Here's some things that will happen when you start feeding your spirit versus your flesh. The number one thing I think that most people are after is just to have a day of peacefulness. Can I tell you, if you'll start feeding yourself the Spirit of God from the Spirit of God, your peace will grow. Doesn't mean your circumstances around you will change, but you will change in your circumstances. You will have a peace through the most horrific times of your life, and it is weird. It doesn't make human sense. It doesn't make sense of any kind except spiritual sense. But I promise you, if you come to Christ and you walk with him and you dine with him and you sup with him and you take communion with him and you're in his word and you're worshiping and you're going after God, you will have peace growing in your life. You can't help it. When you start having scriptures that comfort you and you quote them and you pray them and you read them and you declare them, it brings a peace that passes understanding, Philippians chapter 4. It's in the Word of God. So touch your neighbor and say, let your peace grow. The second thing it grows is your strength. You'll begin to get strength. Because when you're at peace, the Bible says peace and joy are the same thing. And the Bible declares it is the joy of the Lord that is my what? Strength, of course it is. Of course it is. Everything else in the world is designed to destroy those two, to where you can't be strong in the Lord, even as a Christian. Oh, I can't get time to go there. Your peace will grow. Your strength will grow. And here's one I love, and I give it this name right here. Everybody say clarity. Your clarity will begin to grow. What do you mean by clarity will grow? You'll begin to see things through spiritual eyes. You begin to see a lot clearer some things that's going on that had you tore up from the floor up. You'll begin to see a bigger picture. As a matter of fact, and I'm not going to release it now, but I got just a few days ago, I got the word of the Lord for 2026. Amen. Sometimes I get it, sometimes I don't. I'll be honest with you, I don't get it every year, and this is a year. But I got it plain as day the other day that what 26 is going to be. I'll release that to you either the last service or the first service of the next year. Okay? But your clarity is going to grow. You're going to begin to see things through a different set of eyes. And you'll listen to me now. When you get these eyes, you don't go the victim route no more. You become the victor. Hallelujah. So you need your clarity to grow. And when you get that, guess what? A natural thing of that is, if you feed you this, your faith's going to grow. Amen? The Bible says we are to go from faith to faith and glory to glory. Hallelujah. I ain't got time to spend on that one, but your faith will grow. And then out of that, now watch this, nobody likes this word no more, your holiness will grow. In other words, you'll become more holy not trying to be holy. Can I get a better witness? You know, people try to be holy on their own account. Oh, well, God bless God. I don't look like you, talk like you, I'm better than you. That's not holiness, that's stupid. Holiness is when you know you messed up, but you know where to go when you mess up. And you get it right, you put it under the blood of Jesus, you get your Bible, you get a word, you conquer the sin, you defeat the past, you forgive that, you let go, and you let God. That's holiness. And that'll grow when you feed it. Touch your neighbor and say, it'll grow when you feed it. Now again, let me tell you this too. Hunger problems is not the problem. Amen? Feeding the wrong thing is the problem. Because any hunger pain you have is crying out for God to come into that situation. It's what we're feeding, amen? Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, back up one verse. The Bible says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man sows, that will he also reap. In other words, whatever you eat is what you're going to have. Come on now. Whatever you sit down and you partake of, that's what you become. If you compromise, you become compromised. If you compromise, and you may say, well, I don't compromise anywhere but here, you're still compromised. I do good, all these things, here's all the good, but I'm compromised here. You're compromised. All the way across, you're compromised. You're telling me I got to live it perfect? I done told you, you can't live it perfect. But when you see those areas of compromise come up, you go to the table to the Lord. And you say, it's not worth it. I don't need it. The reputation of God, church, family is not worth this opportunity for Satan to have in my life.
Right. Yeah. That's good.
The Bible says for us to live above reproach, not in it.
Yeah.
Well, do not be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever man sows, that also will he reap. There's always something everywhere you go for you to feed on. You never go a day without the opportunity to feed spiritually on something. So here's what the world will offer. And here's what most of the world's feeding on. Number one, entertainment. The entertainment of the world's system. Number two, we need approval. We're always after somebody to approve of what we're doing. And that usually is through the third thing, which is social media. Well, there's always, and this is a big one, there's always some drama and gossip to feed on. And if there ain't none, you can just make some up. Don't take you long, just get online. Temptations are there for us to feed on. Relationships, good or bad, are always there for us to feed on. Success is what many people feed on. I got to be successful. I got to be the best. I got to overcome this. I got to hit this mark. I got to hit. And it's not bad to have goals, but make sure they're not feeding the wrong side. Make sure that's feeding the spirit and the things of God versus your flesh. Can I have a better amen?
Amen.
And then here's one. Control. Got to control everything. I have to control everything. I got to control my life, your life, their life, anybody I'm involved, I have to control. And it's all got to be about me. Narcissistic control. Say that word with me. Say narcissistic control, which means it's got to all be about me. And your life is not yours to be about yourself. Your life is for others. Your gifting is for others. Your calling is for others. How do you have a legacy if there's not any others involved? You don't. You don't have legacy if nobody's there. God. Or you can feed on the Word of God. Forget all that stuff. It's always going to be there. But so is the Word of God. And when all that other stuff is faded away, this is what you're going to be judged by. I'm not going to be judged by nothing else on that list. I'm not going to be judged in relationships. I'm not going to be judged by people who've tried to control or being controlled. I'm going to be judged by the Word of God. And guess what? You are too. This is the judgment. And it ain't like he didn't get, he gave us the answers to the test. And it's an open book test. Just make sure you know that. Amen? Real quickly, the other note. What you give into determines what grows in you. What are you giving into in life when things happen? Are you giving into the call of the Spirit to come to God? Or are you giving into the call of the world to go to it? Money, fame, success, party. That's what the world says is life. But God says life is eternal through Jesus Christ. Some people feed anger, and you know what? Their anger grows. If you feed anger, anger will grow. Some people feed fear, and they stay fearful all their life. You ever known anybody like that? Always afraid of everything. Everything I ever did, my mama said, is going to kill me. Mama, I got a motorcycle. You're going to get killed on that thing. I said, Mom, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I'm not going to get killed. Mom, I started scuba diving. You're going to get eaten by a shark. No, I'm not. No, I rebuke that. I love my mama, but I rebuke that. But some people, they grew up in that bubble of fear. And that's all they know. And when you feed the fear will continue to grow the rest of your life. And you can keep your kids from having fun. But a lot of people feed this beast right here. Again, we talked about it a little bit earlier, distractions. When you feed your distractions, you'll lose focus on what really matters. Because the grass will always look greener. And when the you know what happens when the grass looks greener over here? With your money, with your career, with your job, with anything, with your marriage, with your spouse, whatever, that's just a sign you need to tend your garden a little better. It means you need to eat at your table, not go somewhere else. Good preaching, amen. But when you feed off the Spirit of God, here's what begins to grow. Your prayer life grows, your worship grows, your scripture time grows. Now watch this, your obedience grows. Touch your neighbor and say, is that growing? Why does all that begin to grow? Listen to me now. Because your appetite begins to shift. Instead of wanting the things and desiring the things of the world and being respected by a worldly bunch, I want God in His kingdom to look at me and say, He ain't great, but He's doing better. Amen? I don't care what lost people think about me. I want to know that the King of Kings is on my side. Amen? I would love everybody to like me, but I know that ain't possible. Nobody on earth ever did that, including Jesus. Why do you think He was crucified? Religious folks didn't like Him. They still don't like Him. But here's the thing. When you get Jesus in your heart and in your life and you begin to feed off His word and prayer and worship and obedience, listen to me now. Everybody say, I stop. I stop being attracted to the things that's draining me. And I've started becoming attracted to the thing that sustains me. Too many of us are spending way too much time, energy, and effort on things that are draining you spiritually out. And you need to take some rest, get rid of some stuff, clear out some schedule time, get back to the basics of who God is and who you are in Christ, and get something that will sustain you through this life, because this life is going to throw some junk at you. Amen? Can I have a better amen? Amen? But you start craving the things that strengthen you and sustain you. And by the way, it's only Jesus. Go ahead and put up the last note here. Everybody say, only Jesus. Only Jesus can satisfy your real hunger. You can go everywhere else and try all that. I've known people that's had 2 or 3 houses, vacation homes, boats, yachts, every kind of man toy you can imagine, and they're miserable. And in debt. And none of that stuff satisfies until they met Jesus. And you know what I love to see? I love to see the people that met Jesus and has the 3 houses and the boats and the cars and the mountain lodge and the vacation. And they got Jesus and they get to enjoy it. They enjoy their husband. They enjoy their wife. They enjoy their kid. Why? Because they've got their priorities right. They fed the right thing. And when you feed the right things, your blessings come where you can enjoy them. But make no mistake what John chapter 6, verse 35 says. Jesus declared and said to them, I am. Now notice there he says, I am, not they are or this is. He says, I am. And he didn't mention nobody else here because you don't need nobody else. He says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me, Jesus, shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Because he is fully satisfying when you're with him. There's nothing in your life going to be lacking. I don't have a vacation home, but I'm not lacking there. I know people who do. Amen? And you may say, but when you compare yourselves among yourselves, the Bible says you're foolish. And I'm not comparing earthly things to earthly things. Let's compare spiritual to spiritual. And when you do that, I'm as happy as any billionaire on planet Earth. So are you if you've got Jesus. Can I have a better amen? Amen. Jesus doesn't just feed you. He sustains you. He satisfies you. Amen? He fills you up like nothing else in this world ever has, can, or will. Stand to your feet this morning. Just bow your heads. I want you to listen to what I'm about to tell you. When Jesus becomes your only source in life, you stop needing the approval of other people. You stop chasing things that break you apart. You stop running to sin to comfort your every need. And you stop feeling spiritual emptiness. Now, I'm going to tell you, some of you right here today, you've been having hunger pains for a while. But you're afraid of it. What's my life going to look like if I give this up and I accept Jesus Christ? Am I going to lose some of my friends? And I'm going to tell you the truth, you may lose them. But you never had them if they leave you because of Jesus. You didn't have a true friend. A true friend would celebrate you and want to know how you got there and how you're doing it. Well, am I going to have to give up my sinful nature? No, you're not going to have to give it up. You'll want to give it up. Because there's going to be a Holy Spirit inside of you now. And some of the cravings are going to hang around, but let me tell you something. That's where you got to feed the Spirit to overcome them. It's not about you being perfect, but it's about you having a perfect Savior who loves you. You're here today. And you know there's a pull for more. You may be saved in here. You know Jesus Christ. You've been baptized. But you know there's more. And you're hungry for the more. But you don't know what it'll look like if you surrender to it. Some of you at the last Freedom Conference, you know there's more. And you went after it. And maybe you got it that night. Maybe you didn't get it. But you're still pursuing it. And that's good. Keep pursuing it. You'll find it. As long as you look to God and His Word, you will find what you're looking for. And like I said so many times, the spiritual things that God wants to have us, the biggest roadblock is not something outside of us, it's us. It's a false belief system. It's a belief that we can't have it. Somebody else can. They're better than me. And, oh, I know my past, and the devil's going to bring up your past when you try to go after God and tell you you're not worthy. He is a liar. You weren't worthy in your sin, but you're worthy now because of the blood that's covered your sin. You already know there's something inside. You're craving deeper things. And the choice is simple today. What are you going to feed? You going to feed your flesh or are you going to feed the Spirit? You going to feed your hurts, habits, and hang-ups? Or are you going to hunger and thirst after God? Because I want to read to you one more scripture while your head's bowed and your eyes are closed. The promise is very clear. This is the words of Jesus Christ Himself in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. He says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Blessed is any person in here today, man, woman, boy, or girl, who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, for God will fill that hunger. He will not leave you hungry today. So if you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you say right here today, "I'm tired of this. I've been hungry for a long season. I realize what it is now, and I'm ready to surrender my life to Christ with no strings attached. I'm not joining church today. I'm not becoming a religious person today. I'm becoming a child of God. I'm giving my life to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." If that's you today, throw up your hand and say, "Today's my day." Anybody? Right here's one. Right here's two. There's two right there together. Amen. Anybody else? Anyone else this morning says, "It's my time. I'm ready." This hunger, the only thing that'll satisfy it is Jesus Christ this morning. Anybody else? How many would say today, "I'm a Christian, but I know there's more"? Come on, raise your hand if you're a Christian and you know there's more. And look, if you want to see an example, you can look up here. I got both my hands up. I've been saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, but there's more. There's stuff I haven't experienced. There's stuff I've yet to do. There's people I've yet to encounter. I know there's more, and I want it all. I don't want to miss a single thing. I don't want to live beneath my maximum potential in Jesus Christ. And the only thing that can stop me is me. Because God is for me, not against me. So for you that's been out there and you know there's more, there's nothing ever going to satisfy you like Jesus can. So I want you to make a commitment to Him today and say, "Lord, I'm coming for the more. I'm coming after the more." And it's through your word, it's through prayer, it's through obedience, it's through worship. And I'm going to make time. I'm going to carve that time out And I'm going to get some of this being under Satan's yoke things out of my life. If I have to get up earlier or go to bed late, even if I go to sleep praying, what better way to go to sleep than praying with God, talking to Jesus? But today, I'm not going to stay satisfied with the things of the world. I'm shifting my hunger to the only thing that can satisfy me, Jesus Christ. Amen? But right now, we're going to pray with the people who raised their hand to receive Christ. Because we like to do this as a family. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. And so we want you to pray out loud with us as we pray together. Let's pray together, church. Come on, say, Father, it's me. Today is my day. I've been needing this, and you've been wanting this. Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe you came to earth. And you died to take away my sins. I cannot pay my own sins, but I believe you did, and you have. And today, I ask you to repent from these sins. I turn away from them in Jesus' name, and I surrender them to you. Forgive me, Lord, and I thank you for it. Today, I'm a new creature in Christ. I surrender my whole life to you, Jesus. And from this day forward, I will always be a child of God. I want to hunger and thirst after your righteousness because you promised me that you will fill it. So, Lord, start with me today for the rest of my life as your new child. I thank you, Jesus Christ, for being my Savior. And now you are my Lord. In Jesus' name, I am saved. I am saved. I'm saved. I am saved. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give him praise, church.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.